Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
This is Bewilderbeasts, an infotainment show dedicated to inspiring curiosity for all ages by investigating the ways animals intersect at humanity. I am not a historian, an ethologist, a researcher, a scientist, a zoologist, a trained audio engineer, or an expert in, well, anything. Y'all, I'm lucky if I can remember to put my clean laundry in the dryer before it gets funky. And while I make every effort to present things as accurately as I can with a fun flair, I'm going to mess up. And that's okay. I hope I've given you a nice place to jump off from on your own adventures into curiosity. Or at the very least, I've given you the key to win your next round of trivia. Hello and welcome to Bewilderbeasts. I'm your host, Melissa McKee McGrath, and today on this Patreon special, I'm recording 2,786 miles from Inishmore, Ireland, baby. Today we are discussing the boringness that was St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, unless you were getting toasted at the National Dog Show. All right, let's go. I've been having a really fun break. So I had my birthday. That was a lot of fun. And got to see my husband play music, live music again. So it kind of feels like with this particular spring, we're getting a little bit of a taste of what was just before 2020. And I know we're not out of it yet. So continue to be safe, get vaccinated, do all the things that you need to do. But there's a little taste. I'm not getting my hopes up yet that we are in the clear, but we are hopefully starting to see a little peek of what it was like before. And it's felt really good to kind of have like these like little touchstones of normalcy. I'm also trying a new setup with my recording space. So this may or may not be the permanent solution to sitting in a closet. But if you have feelings about the audio, I will happily take your input as to how this sounds different, better, worse, whatever. Don't be mean. I know you guys won't be, but I've heard a lot of podcasters out there, friend podcasters of mine that have been like, I've been getting a lot of criticism about my audio, and it can be hurtful if it's like, well, you suck. Like, and I know you guys won't do that, but if you happen to see some people getting raked on social for their audio quality, but their content is good, go ahead and throw them a bone, give them some stars on their rating app of choice and all that other fun stuff, because, you know, we're doing the best we can with the tools we have. A lot of us are not professional audio people. I think I say it up at the top. I'm not a professional audio engineer. In fact, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of tooling around with a microphone my husband got me. He's a musician, so he knew what to get. And I've taught myself how to do this. And a lot of people have done the same thing. So if you happen to have content that you like, it doesn't have to be the show, go ahead and spread some love this spring by just going and just tapping a 5-star or a 4-star review and just letting people know that you're listening. It does make a huge difference. All right, so that's that, I think. So if you guys are ready, buckle in. Here comes your Patreon exclusive. Let's get our Irish on. So it turns out Ireland was very religious. Who knew? You may think of St. Patrick's Day as a rollicking good time, but truthfully, if you were actually in Ireland on the 17th of March, there was no green beer, no late parties, or $20 cover fees to get into the pub. In fact, from 1927 to 1961, St. Patrick's Day was a holy day, and specifically one of the three big high holy days, meaning dry, no liquor, no alcohol, in which people were to pray and emphatically not imbibe on a Guinness or a Foggy Dew or anything. These days were Good Friday, Christmas, and St. Patrick's Day because of the Intoxicating Liquor Act. This made it illegal for pubs and restaurants to sell alcoholic drinks on the big three Irish holy days. As March 17th also falls during Lent, it was feared that people of Ireland, a very, very, very Catholic Ireland, would be too tempted and break Lent. So the Connacht Telegraph once reported in 1952, quote, St. Patrick's Day was very much like any other day, only duller. From what I gathered, most people just went to church, went home, and either sulked or went back to more church. It's hard to imagine, given that any podunk town in the United States looks like a sea of people wearing green, white, and orange, but mostly green. And it's a full-day party, even if it's on a Wednesday. Aside from a very few exceptions, this is a normal day at work or school, unless you are in Boston. Yep, loophole, because Boston. Turns out, the U.S. city that boasts the most Irish folk by percentage, over 20% in 2013, found a way to shut down City Hall, government offices, some businesses, and yes, even public schools in Boston, Chelsea, Revere, Winthrop, and yes, my old stomping grounds of Somerville, Massachusetts, which seems like it's always raising its hand going, hey, me too, don't forget about me, whenever Boston does literally anything. But don't call it St. Patrick's Day, it's Evacuation Day. It's not, as the name may suggest, where everyone just up and leaves the city, though leaving is kind of part of it. And it's absolutely not what happens to your stomach contents after celebrating the American version of St. Patrick's Day, but it is instead the day that is the big, and don't let the door hit you on the way out, to the British forces. From the city of Boston, early in the American Revolutionary War. Here's the best part. If March 17th happens to fall on a weekend, schools and government offices in Boston are closed the following Monday, which makes it a three-day weekend, which might help you if you stayed out a little too late rocking out to Flogging Molly or screaming the chorus of Sinead's version of Foggy Dew with the Chieftains. Wait, that's just me? It just so happens that Evacuation Day is the same day as St. Patrick's Day. Purely coincidence, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Boston's St. Patrick's Day parade is the oldest. It started in 1737, before the United States was even the United States. 1776 is the U.S.'s birthday, so almost 40 years before the United States was like, U.S.? Boston was like, yo, let's do this thing. Or rather, ah, yo, let's do this thing. But where there's a will, there's a way. And a lot of people in Ireland, for the majority of the 20th century, the Irish people felt like they had the will to go find a pub and enjoy the day like any other with friends. And there was one sure way to get a pint on St. Patrick's Day from 1927 to 1961. By attending the Royal Dublin Society Dog Show. Turns out, members of the Kennel Club would be able to imbibe at the annual dog show. As people had to be an official member of the Kennel Club to participate, every March there would be a sudden influx of people registering their dogs for membership to the RDS. People who didn't even have dogs, or like dogs, or even have a passing interest in dogs. Maybe they even thought cats were better. They all decided that the dog show was absolutely the place to be on March 17th because they all had one thing in common. They also found a loophole. In fact, the loophole was so strong that Brendan Behan, famous Irish poet and playwright, who said, quote, "The most important things to do in the world are to get something to eat, something to drink, and somebody to love you." And his brother, Brian Behan, said of Brendan, "Brendan lit a bonfire under the arse of Irish literature. He took it by the scruff of the neck and dragged it, kicking and screaming, into the 20th century. That Brendan Behan. He was said to have picked up stray dogs and would use them to gain entry into the members' lounge of the RDS. This is really hard to confirm, but I really am enjoying this urban legend, and I'm not a go-back-in-time expert, so let's just say it might have happened. Patrick Kavanagh, another Irish poet who was famous enough to be quoted by Russell Crowe at the Oscars, has a statue at Walt Disney World in Orlando, was also alleged to have paid a young woman for the, quote, rent of her dog on that one day every single year. On paper, the numbers of dog aficionados were the most anywhere in all of Europe. And that's saying something. Europe loves it, some dog shows. However, in reality, it was just people who weren't as into the whole Catholicism thing, dry day thing, boring thing, especially while the New Yorkers were throwing a massive party and having parades in honor of Ireland's saint. Is there any lasting effects of this? Well, they eventually turned this whole thing around on St. Patrick's Day. Not that long ago, 1996, there was finally a St. Patrick's Day festival in Ireland. The very next year, the word day was officially out in case they wanted to keep the good times rolling, which they did. For 3 days, they partied, and that's pretty respectable. Woodstock was only 3 days, and that turned out fine. Y'all, over time, the festival in Ireland had become a five-day-long national party, and it's now considered an important event. It's Ireland's biggest annual celebration and the official start to tourism season. So this week, go get 'em, Ireland. But what about the other 2 days, Good Friday and Christmas? Y'all, the Good Friday law was not lifted until 2018. That was 3 years ago. They had a really good run, their first break in 2019. Everyone went out, pouring one out for the big guy upstairs if they were Catholic-ish. But until 3 years ago, people could not go to the dog show. That's only on March 17th. But they could go to the Greyhound racing track, which they did in droves. They could have some snacks and see some dogs and drink a pint or eight. If they really wanted to make a day of it, and at this point, why not, they would take the train on Good Friday. And if someone had a ticket for a train that was longer than 40 kilometers, they were able to go get a drink at the train car bar car. So lots of people just went to the train station with all their friends, got tickets for 41 kilometers away, ate some snacks, got some drinks, and got to go to a dog track. They would then head back home on the same train, have a couple more for the road, as it were, and head home. Even if you were to do this for one pint of Guinness on any holiday, buying two train tickets or one round trip one, betting on dogs and dog racing, or even getting a hotel room to drink at that bar, but that's a pretty expensive pint of Guinness. I absolutely love a good pint of beer, but honestly, at this point, it's modern times. Just go get a couple on pre-Good Thursday at the Packy and stay home. Anyway, in 2018, the ban was lifted. 2019, all was great. And then 2020. All right. Where everyone, even in Boston, had to lock it all down, hang out with their own dog, and start the long slog that we are still kind of peeking out of, but we are still actively in. One more thing about pubs, Ireland, and animals. Ireland's first wildlife hospital is the former Tárnaoiri pub in County Meath, just northwest of Dublin. Tárnaoiri translates to Tower of the Kings, or Hill of the Kings in Gaelic. The pub and inn stand near a hill called Tara, with an ancient burial mound, hence Tower or Hill of Kings. Unfortunately, the pub suffered as many did during the initial onslaught of the coronavirus pandemic. The doors had to shut, the taps ran dry. But James McCarthy, the owner of the Tárnaoiri pub, after an initial blow, had a really good think about what to do next. Like many of us, he had to pivot, and he ended up doing something spectacular. He turned the outbuildings over to Wildlife Rehabilitation Ireland, or WRI, while keeping the main pub open as a way to hand out to-go coffees. It was a great way to pivot as people couldn't gather, but birds of a feather flock together, and with people flocking together 6 feet away from each other masked up in the hills, walking more, and outside time became a respite from staring at the same four walls. There was a huge increase in the number of injured and abandoned animals found and was able to get help at the pub. The animal hospital was the first in all of Ireland that could care for any species, size, or medical need. In one of these outbuildings, a member of staff bottle-fed Liam, a two-week-old wild Irish goat who was found on a mountainside. Three swans nested in straw in former stables. A skittish fox nestled into an enclosure, and a wide-eyed buzzard was being nursed to health. Quote, "We're bracing ourselves for orphan season, which is our busiest time of year," said animal manager Dan Donaher. He was calming a flustered pigeon at the time on the examination table while giving this interview. Quote, "We'll get lots of baby birds, baby foxes, etc., etc., and they'll keep us busy for the next 6 months. Quote, "We embraced them and they embraced us," said Aoife McPartin of the Locals, many of which were people who loved this pub and wanted to somehow give back. These locals volunteered their time to renovate the buildings on the premises and to make it suitable for animal care. But Aoife said, quote, "I think nature has saved a lot of people through the pandemic. They're just generally more aware of wildlife, and they know they exist now, and we coexist together." That was at the beginning of the pandemic. Since then, it became very clear that there was a much larger need for treating animals, and a pub wasn't going to do it. Bars are great, but it's hard to have, and these are real, seal kennels in the back of a pub. These are kennels with a pool, a large animal barn, hedgehog overwintering area, and a fully up-to-date hospital barn, complete with a waiting room, office, staff room, triage room, ICU, lab equipment, storage room, scrub room, surgery room, treatment room, isolation room, toilets for people, laundry, kitchen, food store, bird room, mammal room, baby bird room, baby mammal room. You get the idea. It's a lot. And while they have a new location being built right now in County Meath, they are actively fundraising right now for building out these spaces so they can truly staff and create a state-of-the-art wildlife rehabilitation facility for all of Ireland's 16 counties of sick and injured wildlife. They also hope to educate the public on wild creatures. Hey-o, that's something I can get behind. And help injured wildlife. And caring for these animals, and most importantly, why it is so critical to just leave wildlife alone unless there is a true need to intervene. I'm going to leave a link on the show notes, or you can look up the GoFundMe, quote, Ireland's Wildlife Hospital. They are so thorough in what they need and want, and the plan for how this is run is super impressive. They are also hiring, so if this is your calling and you have experience, grab a coffee at Tara Nari, head out, write your resume, fill out an application, and join the team at Ireland's first wildlife hospital in County Meath that had a quick stay at the Irish pub. Now that is something I can raise a pint or four to this St. Patrick's Day. You can also check out information at wildlifehospital.ie. All right, guys, so thank you for listening today on Bewilder Beast. This is your Patreon exclusive. Thank you so much for supporting this show. I've taken a break this whole month on the main feed, and I just wanted to make sure you guys had something really fun and different and new for you. So thank you so much for supporting. If there are topics that you would be interested in hearing about on this show, or you know of any historical animals or other restaurants giving care to wildlife, please send it in. BewilderBeastPod@gmail.com. Tweet at BewilderedPod, BewilderBeastPod on Facebook, and BewilderBeasts on Instagram. I'm Melissa McHugh McGrath with Mudstuff Media. Still dog training here in Southern Maine, so if you happen to know anybody down here who needs some help with their dogs, send them to the Animal Welfare Society in Kennebunk, Maine. Now, y'all know what to do. Go get curious. I got all of today's information from IrishCentral.com, History.com, Wikipedia.org, France24.com, WBUR.org, WashingtonPost.com, CharlieToday.ie, NewsSky.com, and for fans of Ted Lasso, Trent Crim, The Independent, would totally support this. TheIndependent.ie. Links, as always, are in the description of today's episode. Intro music is still Tiptoe Out the Back by Dan Leibowitz, interstitial music by MK2. Additional music provided by Pixabay and freesound.org. I'll leave you this quote from I'm going to leave you with this quote from Patrick Cavana. Quote, "My advice is this. Do whatever pleases yourself. These things don't matter. What does matter is that if you have anything worthwhile in you, any talent, you should deliver it. Nothing must turn you from that." Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, and share with your curious friends. Thanks so much for listening. I can't wait to see y'all next time.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @PodfixNetwork on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.